Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 179.
This week on the podcast, when can we start calling the NRA terrorists instead of lobbyists? Is it now?
And the GOP proposes several strategies to deal with the week's multiple mass shootings, including denial, misplaced blame, and voting no on common sense gun legislation.
Bernie Sanders is now polling higher against Hillary than Obama was in December of 2007.
The GOP releases their plan in case of a Trump nomination. Ask the Senate candidates to wear cooler clothes and dig up tree trunks for a day.
The Senate is now only 60 Obamacare repeals behind the House in the GOP war of healthcare hating.
And Ben Carson will defeat the delicious chickpea-based snack food beloved by millions. Fear be damned.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right. We're back.
We're back. We took a week off because it was Thanksgiving.
I was out of town. Doing things.
Yes, very fancy. It was a very fancy holiday for me, as you might imagine. Celebrated in my parents' home.
Yeah.
But we're back just in time to bring you mostly news about shootings that occurred this week. Because that's what the week was filled with.
Right. It turns out that's what every day is filled with. Right. It's just that we're keeping track of the real big ones.
We're up to 355 mass shootings.
Yeah.
So that's...
That's more than days
that's
we've had.
That's impressive. I don't know if it's the good kind of impressive. I would argue it's not.
Yeah. America for the win.
Yes. Right America, though, is definitely leading the world in the number of dumb mass shootings that
that's
we're tolerating.
Right. Yeah.
Like the New York Times... Before we begin our news rundown, we wanted to take a moment to editorialize a little.
Yes.
Because this is ridiculous.
Come on,
guys. This is too many shootings.
Yeah. And we have some serious thoughts about this.
We have some serious thoughts about this that include the fact, you know, one of these shootings was sort of vaguely tied to ISIS in the sense that it was at least inspired by Islamic extremist propaganda.
It was
a guy who went postal.
Perpetrated by people who had been radicalized.
The guy was both a government employee, so in that sense it was our first true going postal incident of the modern era, but sure. also he had been radicalized, I guess, by his wife and the internet.
Yes.
And so there was a sort of a political element to his choice to commit a mass shooting.
Yeah.
But I think when we talk about these things, we tend to not use the word terrorist to describe these other mass shootings that are perpetrated by Americans who don't seem to have a clear agenda.
Like the Planned Parenthood one, which also happened while we were gone.
Right. Like this Planned Parenthood one, which, again, was a shooting that was in support of a political ideology, which is the definition of terrorism. It was an arbitrary act of violence in support of a political ideology.
That's right.
But, you know, when we talk about some of these, the Adam Lanzas of the world, the Newtown shooter, or the Jordan Lawner, or Loughner, Gabby Gifford shooter, a lot of the time it's these sort of lone wolf, we describe them as, shooters, who don't seem to have a clear agenda, and their agenda is mostly just to shoot a lot of people because they're depressed and then kill themselves.
Right.
I would like to posit that while these acts in and of themselves don't always meet the definition of terrorism as Merriam-Webster describes it, that they do allow the NRA to meet the definition of a terrorist organization. And that is, I think, that's something, you know, when we talk about how there's nothing that we can do about this because Congress is stuck on this issue. They're not stuck because people don't agree on this. 80% of Americans want stricter gun control laws. That poll came out in the Daily News, and we'll talk about that in a second this week. But what they're saying is that there's something that is preventing Congress from acting on this issue, and that thing is the lobby of the NRA.
Right.
But more so than that, if terrorism is defined as spreading fear in an effort to promote an ideology, then the NRA is the ideology that these shootings spread fear to promote, and they are protecting the shooters in an effort to promote their own ideology and say that because it's so dangerous here, we all need guns and we need to sell more guns and, you know, we all need to be able to protect ourselves with guns. And this only feeds into their
rhetoric. They use this after all of these shootings. That's the thing that you hear. You hear the NRA saying, if everyone in that whole movie theater had a gun, if everyone in Aurora
just pulled out a gun, then we would have had fewer deaths. I don't know. But so even if these shooters don't consciously promote the NRA ideology, they are part of the NRA's terrorist narrative.
They're being used by the NRA.
They're being used by the NRA, and the NRA is fundraising off of their actions. It is politicizing them in the aftermath. And some of these were political already for a variety of reasons. We're going to also talk about why I believe this Planned Parenthood shooting was a terrorist act and why most, I mean, I'm not the only person suggesting this out there, but also, you know, I think you could say that the Dylann Roof attack in that church was also a terrorist act to some degree. It was in support of a vague racist ideology that he was, you know, that was tied to the sort of Confederate pride that is going on. But if the NRA is using these actions to promote their own agenda, they are sort of retroactively becoming terrorist activities, even if they are not individually meant as terrorist actions. They are being used as part of the propaganda that is being used to spread fear in promotion of a political ideology.
Yep.
So while I would argue that maybe Adam Lanza doesn't meet the definition of a political terrorist, at least, I mean, he was certainly spreading terror, but he doesn't meet the sort of official definition of terrorist, his action has become part of the NRA's terrorism because it has become part of their, it has become something that they use to promote their own political ideology. And this is each of these mass shootings in the aftermath, we end up with an NRA, you know, with the NRA fundraising off of them, with the NRA promoting their ideology off of them. So if the NRA is protecting these people's ability to carry out these actions by not refusing to limit their access to this weaponry, and even if they are not sort of specifically authorizing these attacks or ordering these attacks, they are certainly implicitly allowing for these attacks to happen and encouraging people to use this high-powered weaponry that they so need to protect themselves, according to the NRA, then they are the terrorist organization that we're fighting. Yep. It is their terror that we're trying to overcome. They have cut off our democratic options in terms of repealing the legislation that allows this to go on.
Yes.
They are using it to promote a political ideology that most Americans are not in support of, and they're spreading fear and allowing for the free spread of fear in order to promote their own agenda. Yeah. Well, that is
fear,
terrorism.
And this fear that they spread off, we see this after all of these mass shootings, is that you see a huge spike
In gun sales
after these. I read something about this, actually. I think like the 2 days after the San Bernardino shooting was like the highest 2 days that we've had like in years. For gun purchases.
This happens every time.
And that's because
the
NRA is scaring you into thinking that the government is going to take your guns
away. Exactly. And here's the reality. The only difference between a casual gun owner who just needs his gun to protect his family and a criminal that you would need to protect yourself from with a gun is whether or not the gun has been fired.
Totally.
So their agenda is not only making it more dangerous for you to be a person without a gun, but it also makes you more dangerous to be a person with a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns you into a potential criminal at any moment.
Yep.
And, you know, Brent and I were also earlier talking a little bit about how as much as we can try to, to sort of paint these young men who just seem to have no clear ideology, the shootings perpetrated by them, and this young man who committed the shooting in San Bernardino this week as two completely opposite kinds of the problem, they are ultimately young men who were mixed up, who had easy access to high-powered weaponry. It is the same
pathology. The commonality is the access.
The access. I mean, it is like how when you take... suicides go down if you take away people's access to guns, because suicides are committed by people who just all of a sudden, you know, if you
Once it becomes harder to do something,
convenience really does lower, like inconvenience is what prevents suicide. They have statistically proven that if you make committing suicide inconvenient, people don't bother.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you know, the NRA's claim that if we don't arm everyone, that no one will be able to protect themselves and crime will go up is warranted.
Yeah.
It's not warranted. The thing that is turning these mixed up young men into criminals is their access.
Yeah.
It is not easy to commit a mass shooting if you can't have guns.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, then you're just an angry guy who's walking around being angry, and that's not as harmful to everyone.
Yeah.
So in many ways, you know, and we're going to talk in a little bit about Obama's speech about this that he just delivered tonight and how it sort of fails to address this connection. It was a little flat. But the connection here is the access, and the pathology is the same pathology. It's the same pathology of mixed up young men or in even mixed up young women in the case of the San Bernardino shooting, although that's much rarer. Go women. But it's mixed up young people or just mixed up people in general who have access.
Yeah.
The problem is the access. The NRA is protecting the access. They are the cause of this terrorist scourge.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit also about how some of these other, you know, far right extremist groups are sort of implicitly encouraging yes. acts of terrorism themselves. We're going to talk in a second about this Planned Parenthood. But first, yeah. Bren is going to briefly talk about another issue this week.
Right, this is sort of our editorial round two here. Because, you know, we just talked a lot about the NRA being a terrorist organization, and you and I both wholeheartedly believe that to be the case.
Right.
We are not going to be able to do anything about them until we get money out of politics.
Yeah.
Because we sit around and we talk about, well, how come 80 or 90 or 100% of the country agrees on this one thing that we cannot get passed? And it's because the money controls the people who are voting.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And until we deal with that, we can't really do anything in this country. You can't deal with, we will never have a single payer health system because we are currently answering to insurance companies right now.
Correct.
We can never have
we can never stop going to war because we're answering to the military industrial complex.
We can never deal with our, you know, with Wall Street and the banking industry until the, you know, they stop funding all of our politicians. It's important enough to literally be a single issue. I mean, to vote for someone based solely on that issue.
Yeah.
Because if someone is running on doing something and they are not also running on getting money out of politics, they can't do what they're running on.
Yeah, you can be a person who's solely running on gun control, but if you're not running on getting money out of politics, you're not really running on gun control because
you can't do it.
Campaign finance reform is really the only platform.
It's the only platform.
It's the only path that allows us to move forward into a world in which we can accomplish some of our goals.
Yes.
And that's why you should vote for Bernie Sanders.
I would agree. Yes.
But also, that is why this scourge keeps happening. That is why we can't seem to do anything about it. The Daily News recently put out a poll that 80% of Americans are in favor of stricter gun control. We just said that. A separate poll also that they put out said that on Thursday said that Americans are more afraid of homegrown terrorists than they are of terrorists who might enter the U.S. as Syrian refugees. That is because we are allowing any crazy person access to assault rifles.
Right.
And in the, I mean, in this case of San Bernardino,
including,
you know,
people on the terror watch list, by the way,
which we're going to get to also in a second. But I mean, the San Bernardino shooters were in one of the states with one of the strictest gun control laws in the country, and still were able to attain assault rifles
because there was a loophole. Right.
That's mind-boggling enough because California is not the state that you would think would be the place that you would go to get assault rifles.
Yeah.
Go to the next state over.
Yeah,
every one of the next state overs offers an easier,
super easy over there,
super easy way to get a gun. But I mean, if it's that easy, if it's so easy, you wouldn't even bother leaving California to do it. Then it's too easy. It's not enough.
Agreed.
So we watched Obama's remarks.
Yeah, we actually held off on doing the podcast to watch Obama, and I sort of feel like we didn't really need to do that.
Because... And also listening to the CNN discussion of it after the fact was so disconcerting because I was like, it was like they were saying things like, well, I think he chose a really interesting path in using words to form sentences to deliver that speech. Like, everything they said was he mentioned his daughters.
Their White House correspondent said it was a very commander-in-chief style speech.
Well, it was a speech.
We have
one commander-in-chief, and he delivered a speech.
In that respect, you are absolutely
right. It's currently
CNN.
The most commander-in-chief speech you could deliver as a person who is the only commander-in-chief. He defines what a commander-in-chief speech is.
Yeah.
It focused a lot on foreign threats and dealing with ISIS and requested money to authorization for use of force against ISIS.
And he did touch on gun control, but not in
very
any
briefly
sort of...
and in a way where he sort of knew he was already defeated, which I really wanted to hear him explain specifically why this is happening, because the threat that I currently feel as a person who I feel has always lived in major cities and has already experienced a terrorist attack, so I know that that's scary. Yeah. I'm most afraid of homegrown terrorists as well at this point. I'm most afraid of mass shootings.
You were
Those scare the shit out of me.
You were a person who was affected by 9/11 and are
still more afraid. Right. I know how scary it is to be in a large-scale terrorist attack. I am still more afraid of this gun issue than anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm more afraid of an American person coming and shooting me than I am of some sort of Islamic militant coming from ISIS. And I mean, that's statistically way less likely to happen.
Totally.
So I wanted to hear him talk about why I shouldn't be concerned that, you know, Adam Lanza is going to come and kill me. And I did not get that answer.
No.
It's sort of sad how defeated we are on this. It's it's sort of been a bad week. So I think that, you know, it takes a week like this to remind us how defeated we are. And then we kind of do the thing again where we're like, let's do something. And then it kind of peters out because we don't do anything. And how long can you keep harping on one issue when there's a million things to talk about in
and
the world?
And you would think that terrorists, which is what we're calling these people now, the San Bernardino shooters, having access to guns,
Would at least be enough to scare the right into getting some sense on this issue.
But it still it hasn't been. Which is shocking.
They are now angry.
Right.
I mean, Marco Rubio is
this
literally...
This, for them, is like worse than having kids getting killed.
I know.
Because that children that, getting killed wasn't enough.
No, that's not...
But you would think that, you know, terrorist brown people getting access to guns
would be enough. Now they're making apology. They're making apologist arguments claiming that we're overreaching when it comes to determining that people are terrorists, which is crazy coming from them. They set up this whole terrorist watch list situation, and now they're claiming that it's too overreaching.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean,
P.S.
God.
Does this mean that it is now safer to be on an airplane than it is to be in a movie theater?
Because
the one place that terrorists with guns cannot get
is
onto an airplane.
Yeah.
If you were on the no-fly list, can take an assault weapon to anywhere that you want except an airplane, which you cannot get onto.
Yeah.
Maybe flying is
You should stop being so stressed out about flying.
I know. Apparently, I was actually very... I kind of like had an interesting experience on my flight back. Speaking of emergencies. There's always a siren as soon as we talk about emergencies. It's crazy. But on my flight back, I went through airport security and they did not make us take our laptops out of our bags. They told us to put our coats in our bags and kept our shoes on and just put us through a regular metal detector. Huh. It was so efficient.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. The line just moved and we all quickly and easily got through security. I kept my shoes on so
Sounds
I didn't
like a
have
dream.
To redress myself at the other side. I mean, it was great. And surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, I didn't feel less safe once I was inside.
No.
Because I felt like at least I'm in the one place where terrorists with guns can't access.
It's not shoe removal that makes you feel safe at the airport.
Nope.
Never has been.
You can fly internationally between any other country in the world without removing your shoes. It is only the U.S. that you can't get to without removing your shoes.
Yeah.
Hasn't made us any safer or less safe.
Yeah.
In any case. So let's just briefly go through all the shootings.
Let's do it.
Because we had two different kinds of homegrown terrorism this
week. Yes. It started Friday after Thanksgiving.
Right.
With the Planned Parenthood shooting.
Right. A very exciting television event because there was a five-hour standoff with the police involved.
Yeah.
And the guy who perpetrated it was 57, so he doesn't meet the sort of usual depressed young man, mid-20s, you know, profile. And he also didn't kill himself.
Yeah.
So he instead killed a police officer and two civilians and then injured five police officers and four civilians. So that's just awesome.
Yeah.
But this is an... I want to first describe the degree to which this was terrorizing.
Terrorism, yes.
Because I think, you know, the right sort of immediately jumped up and was like, lone wolf, crazy guy, not us. It had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
This was a guy who, first of all, put an entire city on lockdown for 5 hours. That's terrorizing.
If you are
a person who's on lockdown and there's a five-hour standoff and you don't know where the shooter is and he's just indiscriminately firing at people, that's terrorizing. But also, I feel like the media seemed very unwilling to jump to the very obvious conclusion that this was a politically motivated attack.
It of course was.
How could they? I mean, it was at Planned Parenthood.
It was at Planned Parenthood. We found out
even
eventually
if we knew nothing
that,
else.
Right, exactly. And we have, you know, we found out a bunch of details because he had, first off, he had attacked a Planned Parenthood before. I mean, not to this degree,
he glued
obviously.
Their locks.
Glued the locks.
But
so,
that's
I mean, not, it's not,
not
I
a
mean,
great thing to
it's
do.
It's not a great thing. But he had also, you know...
He was known as a staunch opponent to abortion. He had told friends
and
family that much. And he had also described his admiration for the Army of,
Army
God,
of God,
which is an anti-abortion extremist group that commits terrorist attacks outside of Planned Parenthood clinics.
Yeah.
His ex-wife said he had a history of violent behavior.
And also, we know that as he was going on this rampage for 5 hours, that he was talking about baby parts.
Right.
Like, in reference to the Planned Parenthood videos.
Right. The fake scandal that the right perpetrated,
right,
in which
we
thought the Planned Parenthood was selling baby parts.
So to think for 1 second that he wasn't incited by Carly Fiorina and company
is bonkers.
Bonkers.
And I want to discuss for a moment, like we just talked about with the NRA, the degree to which domestic terrorism can involve conscripting crazies to do your dirty work.
Totally.
You know, if we are having a kind of political rhetoric in which we are implying every day in the news that it is okay to commit violent actions against Planned Parenthood because, you know, of whatever lies are being spread about Planned Parenthood, then the right cannot then be like, but we didn't mean anyone should shoot them up.
No.
The fact that we have a history of this kind of behavior and have been inciting people to this kind of action this whole time through words does not mean that we meant that someone should do it. We were just telling people to do it. We didn't mean they should do it. Like, right, that cannot be the argument. If you are using the kind of violent anti-abortion language, rhetoric that the right has been using this whole time, you cannot distance yourself then when some crazy goes in there with a gun and an arm, a bag full, a duffel bag full of other guns that he legally obtained thanks to your other dumb voting plans, and shoots the place
That's
up.
That's true.
You can't do that.
You can't.
And it was, I was shocked.
That's on you.
Also, but to some degree, I also feel like the media didn't even need to say this.
No,
because
that's true.
Planned Parenthood said everything, not themselves. I mean, they also had a great statement about it, but the fact that it was at Planned Parenthood said everything that needed to be said. There was no room, because this has a precedent, because we've seen this happen before, and because we know this is in the news, there was no question in anyone's mind that this was what it was. And maybe some of the people that saw that were like, aha, finally someone did it.
Yeah.
And maybe the rest of us were horrified.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was the fact that no one would say it after, I mean, he'd given us all the clues.
Exactly.
You didn't need to jump to a conclusion to know why a crazy guy who has a history of being against abortions would shoot up a Planned Parenthood.
Right. Well,
there's
and
no
the,
conclusion to
and
jump to.
The other
to
important point here is that, you know, talking about all the things, the fact that he has, you know, done some crazy things at Planned Parenthood before. In his divorce papers, you know, his wife had said that he was had, you know, violent streaks.
And that he was obsessed with being saved and thought he could do anything that he wanted.
He was in this Army of God business. You know, how was he able to get a gun?
Exactly.
By the way, the right loves to talk about not letting the wrong, you know, guns into the hands of the wrong people. Well, we should have known here.
Why did
that he
have duffel bags full of guns with
exactly.
him?
Exactly. Well, and this goes back to what I feel like I said after one recent mass shooting. I agree wholeheartedly with the right talking about, like, you know, it's just we need to make sure that, like, crazy people don't get guns.
I think but, like, everyone agrees.
We all agree that that's a crazy. But
we need to actually do that.
But let's if that's your plan,
great.
Then let's see it.
Yeah. No, let's
show me. Show me a vote on making sure crazy people don't get guns.
Right, because currently we can't even vote on known terrorists not
getting
guns.
They just like to use that as their excuse to vote no on, like, limiting gun access.
And
but they don't actually offer a plan to make sure, like, if they had a plan to make sure someone who had been listed as a violent person in a divorce document and who'd already, you know,
had already committed a terrorizing action against Planned Parenthood.
Then, like, let's have some sort of fucking list where he can't get a gun.
Yeah. No, well,
you know what else that list could be? It could be the terrorist watch list.
Right.
Too, by
a list that they also don't agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is, like, such a sort of bizarre lapse in logic that they fuel that I can't even wrap my mind around it. I was, and it was also, I almost felt like the media was complicit in not allowing us to think that it was a terrorist activity. Not only did they never use the word terrorist to describe him, by the way, I don't know that we just told you his name, but we're going to so that you know it.
Oh, yeah.
It's Robert Louis Deer, Jr.
Jr.
He's from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He was living in Colorado. He was an art dealer. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is... I can't even wrap my mind around why the media feels so sort of, like, complicit in not jumping to a conclusion in an event like this when they are so ready to jump to conclusions in the event of anything else happening.
Yeah.
Like, this had all the facts there.
Yeah.
You didn't need... If you don't accidentally commit a shooting outside of a Planned Parenthood while screaming about baby parts.
Yeah.
It wasn't a coincidence while he was screaming about baby parts. And while he was... After he was interviewed, he talked about Obama. He talked about Planned Parenthood. He talked about abortion. He talked about baby parts.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence then that he was at a Planned Parenthood.
No.
He wasn't at a cat store. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And they covered up the names and occupations of the victims as if they didn't want us to know they were regular people who had just happened to be at a Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
You know, they only released the name of the cop, which I thought was sort of like, I wanted to know that those people also got on. I feel like a lot of the time we're, like, really good at, and I sort of, like, can even relate this experience to having to go and lobby on 9/11 related issues. We're really good at forgetting about sort of passive victims. It is right of us to honor the sort of the responders and officers who, you know, who come to these events and try to disarm this guy and really, like, act to for our safety, of course. But I think we're really good at acting like passive victims who were just there and now have their lives turned upside down as a result don't exist.
Yeah.
And that also, I mean, I think that if someone really looked into the lives of the passive victims of gun violence in America, they would find a horrifying trend.
Yeah.
They would find children who have lost parents, families that have lost breadwinners. They would find people now fluctuating in and out of poverty who at one time were middle class. They would find that those GoFundMe campaigns only last for a year, and then everyone forgets about you because there are 355 of these already this year, and how can we keep track of all of those victims?
But I mean, you would find suicides.
You would find suicides. Yep. You would find children who never made it out of school. You would find all sorts
people
of things.
Prison.
People in prison.
Yep.
You would find all sorts of things that we don't look at because we rarely talk about the passive victims of these kinds of attacks. I think that if we really wanted to horrify Americans into doing something about this, and when I say doing something about this, I mean voting. I mean that all that we have to do is all vote.
Yep.
80% of us want to do something about this. If 80% of us voted, then we could do something about this.
Exactly.
The votes are more important than the money. They really are. The votes are the money is partially what determines who votes, but we don't have to let it.
True.
You know?
Yes.
But I feel like that might be the narrative that kind of snaps people back into reality because that would be a horrifying narrative.
I agree.
And these are from the same people who don't want to do anything about this probably don't want to do anything to protect these people.
No.
Not
even remotely.
And they are not even as organized as 9/11 survivors can be.
Yeah.
You know, at least we were all in the same place at the same time, so we sort of vaguely know who each other are. They're just
everywhere.
Just people.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's, in any case,
yeah,
makes me mad. So let's talk about San Bernardino, because that was a sort of different kind of terrorist action.
Right.
And we're going to call both of these terrorist actions. They are both terrorist actions.
Yeah.
The news has only been referring to this one as a terrorist action.
Yeah.
And domestic terrorists who shoot up Planned Parenthoods are also terrorists.
They're terrorists, too.
So they meet the definition of terrorists.
Yeah.
In any case, this is a really confounding shooting.
It is
weird.
Yeah, it is. Well, first off, just the events that unfolded on this day were very bizarre. Because it was, as we know, it was at it was at the company holiday party where
where
the guy worked.
A government health inspector.
That he was at.
He went to the party.
Right, left.
Left,
came
got
back
his,
with
wife,
his wife.
And an arsenal of guns.
And pipe bombs
and
all sorts of
fake
everything.
Fake pipe bombs. Oh. It was fake pipe bombs. Oh, like, what? It shows a whole new level of crazy that.
Yeah.
And shot up the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. And so.
And they also left their 6-month-old daughter,
in
by
the care
way,
of his
to
mother.
Go do this.
I mean.
Yikes.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing, especially.
And also, what was interesting, and we mentioned this earlier, but she was the one who had sort of become radicalized.
Right.
And
she was the radical one.
Radicalized
he was
him,
an American
really.
Born. He was of Pakistani heritage, but he was American born.
Right.
She was Pakistani as well, but she'd been raised in Saudi Arabia, and her relatives in Pakistan said that when she came back from Saudi Arabia, she had been quite radicalized.
Right, because she has been there recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
They met on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I think, he sort they sort of claims that he had just been looking for, like, a nice Muslim wife who, you know, would share his values. Apparently, she brought some new values to his
she
life.
She did. Yeah, she did.
But I mean, this guy, Syed Farouk, was, I think, Chicago born. And he was an American.
Yeah, he was from Chicago,
And so basically, they sort of slowly amassed this arsenal secretly.
Yeah.
That no one knows about.
Yeah.
He's working, as we said, as a government health inspector.
Yeah.
They decide that their target is his office's potluck
holiday
Christmas
potluck,
party.
Uh-huh.
And then shoot the place up, drive around San Bernardino for like 4 hours.
Right.
And then get caught by the police and killed.
Right.
A couple questions.
Yeah. Well, we live in California. And we see on almost a daily basis
some exciting car chase.
Some exciting car chase.
Where
chases.
Our news anchors know the name of every single maneuver
that
the police can pull in a car chase situation because they report on them so often.
Our police will track you the fuck down if you were in a car.
They are the best car chasers in America, bar none.
That can't be your getaway plan.
That is not your plan. Get out of Southern California. We know how to do a fucking car chase here. Like, when I heard that, I was like, well, rookie move.
Right.
You know where they probably aren't that great at car chases? Arizona, Nevada, anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere but here.
Yeah.
This is like a major sport in Southern California.
It totally is.
Car chases are a thing.
Oh, we have friends who love to watch these and also know the names of them. It's
they're
literally like football plays.
They're
basically,
like football plays. People will IM you at work to tell you to turn on the news to watch a car chase that's going on. I mean, people are into car chases here. It is a rookie move to think you're going to escape by car, especially if you stay in the area.
Yeah.
You have a head start. Use it.
Yeah.
Or don't. I mean, thank God they were caught.
Great.
But I was sort of like, I feel like they would have had more luck even escaping on foot. Because then people would have been like, well, we're in this car. We don't know how to get to you. You jumped over a fence. We can't get through this fence in this car.
Nobody walks here.
No. So. How would we chase you from this car if you're walking? Right. We can't get through that, you know, that narrow path.
Right.
I mean, it would have totally confused the police. But in any case, as much as our police do not have a lot of experience with active shooter situations, they have a lot of experience with car chases. So that was a
sort of a
hilarious side note to this whole situation. But it also seemed that they were maybe planning future attacks. And already this is a confounding place to have planned an attack. Because this didn't leave us with any message other than that he really didn't like his coworkers. This was, as much as it may have been related to Islamic extremism, because as we sort of learned from the internet and learned from people talking about his wife's politics, that he had become quite, you know, radicalized. Right. It was also sort of like a guy going postal.
It was
one of our own government employees. Yeah. Shooting up his own place of work. That is what the term going postal means.
Yes.
We haven't had many people going postal recently. So this is a new territory for us. Yeah. I think it was coined in the 60s or 70s. Yeah. But
there's not really any... There's at least currently there's no...
We don't know what their next target would have been.
There's no evidence right now. I mean, a lot of people seem to think that they wouldn't have been able to finance this on their...
McCall, who's chairs the House Homeland Security Committee, gave like a press conference where he basically was like, we're looking into the possibility that they were financed abroad because it doesn't seem like on his government salary of $46,000 a year, he could have afforded
all
of this.
But ISIS hasn't taken credit for this.
No, they didn't take responsibility, and they basically were like, we don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
So if this was inspired by ISIS, it was certainly not commanded by them.
Right.
Which is, I mean, and this was something but that Obama sort of addressed in his speech. Yeah. This is sort of a new turn in, and this is something that also, you know, does have some similarities to what happened in Paris, because this is an example of a homegrown Islamic extremist.
Yes.
He was American. We cannot pretend like he was someone who came here to seek revenge on America. He was American. He was an American person. And he was clearly, his wife was an immigrant, she had not raised any red flags as an immigrant up until that point.
No, supposedly
she came on the visa waiver program.
Right, the only information that we had on the two of them was basically like their immigration papers, because there had been no red flags. I think we knew that she'd been to Saudi Arabia, because I think also, I mean, we know where people are going because people have passports. But I mean,
really have any information.
No.
But the reason that they were, as we sort of talked about this a second ago, but the reason they were able to access all of these weapons in California was not because they drove to Arizona.
No.
It was because there is a loophole in the California gun control laws called the bullet button loophole that allows rifles that would ordinarily be banned in California because they are assault rifles. To be sold if they have a button release mechanism that releases their magazine instead of it being fixed.
I don't understand guns enough to really know what
means. I don't know what that means.
But apparently it makes a difference somehow.
If your magazine is fixed rather than detachable, then you are banned. But if your magazine is detachable, then you're apparently legal in California. So there is a cottage industry of gun manufacturers who specifically manufacture assault rifles to sell to Californians.
Sold in California, right, exactly.
They had also tampered with them, which, by the way, any person is capable of doing.
Right, exactly. So just buy any gun. And
you can buy any gun.
Do whatever you
want
to. I mean,
the California Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms said that they had tampered with the rifle, so they were even deadlier. And they had the rifles that they wound up using had the power to penetrate ballistic vests and walls.
God,
why are we letting people walk around? What could you need that for?
I know.
What non-harmful thing could you possibly need that for?
Right.
You don't need that to protect yourself.
No. Or to shoot a deer.
They're
not wearing bulletproof vests behind walls.
You just need a bow and arrow to shoot a deer. I mean, deer are ridiculously easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's infuriating.
Yeah, it is.
Also, there was this weird sort of addendum to the story where the FBI turned their apartment back over to their landlord after completing their investigation.
Oh, yeah.
And he opened it to the press.
So weird.
And there was like this media frenzy
really
of these like creepy photos
going
from inside of their apartment.
And video.
Yeah.
They were like going through and they were like, oh, here's
it was
the...
so like voyeuristic and weird.
Here's the computer that was probably of great interest to... But it was like...
It was
creepy. Bizarre. Like the bed...
It was not our press's most shining moment.
No, it wasn't.
No. Also, it was the second shooting of that day. Because that morning there had been a shooting in Savannah that no one ever found out about because we had a more exciting shooting happen later in the day.
Yeah.
So, you would think that maybe, in the aftermath of all of this,
right,
we could vote on some gun control laws. But
terrorists
of course,
have
actually,
easy...
you wouldn't think that.
No.
Because we've never done it before.
No.
We saw 20 kids get massacred. Yeah. We didn't do anything. Right. So why would we do something
just
now?
Just days after the San Bernardino shooting, Senate Republicans blocked two gun control measures. One is shocking that they blocked, because it was the one that
It's of
would,
their own design, really.
Right, exactly. It's the one
that would stop people on the no-fly list from purchasing assault rifles.
Right.
That seems like an easy one.
Yep.
They already don't like people on the no-fly list.
Yeah.
They're trying to think everyone's a terrorist.
Yeah. Mark Kirk, who's a Republican, voted with the Democrats on that. And Heidi fucking Heitkamp.
If you if you're a Heidi Heitkamp constituent,
right,
you need to give her a call.
Yeah, you do.
And don't email her. Don't text her. Don't send her a letter. Call her.
Right.
The offices need to be called.
Right. I agree. And now, I also agree that her stance on gun control is probably how she's able to get elected as a quote-unquote Democrat in South or North Dakota. I can't remember where she's from. But
yeah,
one of the Dakotas. So, on some level, we're probably lucky to have a Democrat from there.
But not she if needs she's going to vote
not
this way,
she's
though.
Doing this way.
This is not helpful.
Yes, I agree. This is not helpful. Right.
And, of course, I mean, I think but Mark
either,
Kirk
it's
really...
either her as a Democrat or a Republican from that state doing the same thing on
right,
some
but
level.
But it doesn't make a difference.
But still, you should let her know.
It's like... when you have a Julia Brownlee in your life.
Yeah.
If your Democrat is voting as a Republican anyway, they're not really a friend to the Democrats.
Correct.
I mean, that doesn't really help anyone.
Yeah. We're coming for you, Julia
We're coming
Brownlee.
For you, Julia Brownlee.
It's this week.
It's
We've
this
been gone
week.
For a couple weeks. We had a holiday.
We're taking you
travel.
Down this
it's,
week. I almost visited happening. Her office while I was in D.C., and then I was like, I want to catch them by surprise on the internet. Because I didn't know what I would say once I got there. I wanted to just be like, I hate you, you idiots. Goodbye. But I didn't do it. In any case, Mark Kirk from Illinois, I think that makes sense that he would need to do that also to keep his seat because Chicago is a place that people are trying to get a grasp on the whole gun control situation because they have a lot of shooting issues there.
Yeah, exactly.
They also rejected separate gun control measures that would expand background checks to gun sales and unregulated shows and online purchases.
Right. And all four of the GOP senators, of course, voted against these. Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, and Rand Paul. And so... Marco Rubio got asked about this because they were like, hey, what's up with this terrorist
watch list is like their baby.
Yeah.
And they also, on a separate note, I want to point out that one of the dumb things that they snuck into the Zadroga bill, 5 years ago when they passed it, was that everyone who got services from the program had to be checked against the terrorist watch list.
I mean...
So they want to check first responders against the terrorist watch list
before
providing
before
them health care.
Right.
But they won't check people against that before they can purchase assault rifles?
I mean, come on. Anyway, but his reason... He, of course, had to have a reason, and it's not a great reason, but he said, a majority of the people on the no-fly list are oftentimes people that basically just have the same name as somebody else who don't belong on the no-fly list. These are everyday Americans that have nothing to do with terrorism. They wind up in the no-fly list, there's no due process or any way to get your name removed from the list in a timely fashion, and now they're having their Second Amendment right being impeded upon. So...
just because there might be problems with it. Like, then address the problems on the terrorist watch list.
Right, exactly.
That's the solution.
That's the solution.
We could just have better intelligence focused on that.
But I think that's going to be... I think there's a major flub in here, though, actually.
Because
even for Republican voters
flubbing
to
on the
to
importance
refer,
of the terrorist watch
to
list.
Right, exactly. And to refer to people on the terrorist watch list as everyday Americans is not going to play well.
It's not going to jibe with his constituents.
No.
But, so the problem with that bill, though, is that there's too many people on the terrorist watch list?
I mean...
like, why are we keeping that a secret list of people with no due process?
Yeah.
Like, that was their baby.
Yeah. And if it comes as a surprise to you that there were people who decided to carry out acts of terrorism in the name of Islam by using America's lax gun laws, you shouldn't be surprised.
No.
Because guess what? Al-Qaeda's been begging people to do it since at least 2011.
Well, it's just there for the taking.
Yes.
I mean,
in 2011, there was a video by Adam Gadon, who was an American militant who became a senior advisor to bin Laden, and he was, like, one of Al-Qaeda's, like, leading propagandists. He, like, released, like, a bunch of videos or whatever. And
we killed him in a drone strike earlier this year.
Yes.
But in 2011...
Yeah, he urged supporters living in the West to take action in their own countries against, quote, Zionists and crusaders, and specifically made note of how easy it is to get guns in America.
Yeah,
and
the quote.
Yeah, go for it.
In the West... you've got a lot at your disposal. Let's take America, for example. America is absolutely awash with easily obtainable firearms. You can go down to a gun show at the local convention center and come away with a fully automatic assault rifle without a background check and most likely without having to show an identification card. So what are you waiting for?
Right, so there you go. Look.
What a surprise that someone actually did it.
Is, you know, not to scare you, but I mean, look for more of this.
Yeah, this...
You know, I mean, like...
It's too easy.
It's too easy.
And we're doing it to ourselves.
Yes.
That's, I mean, it's not, like, you can claim, you have to be a crazy person to carry out a mass shooting.
Right.
But how this is different than suicide bombing is beyond me. Because it's, for the most part, a suicidal endeavor. You always end up dead.
You do.
Unless you're 57 and white, then apparently you just end up in jail. Right. But I mean, for the most part, these are people that carry out these actions with the intention of also killing themselves.
Yeah.
And that's true whether or not they are doing it in the name of Islam. But whatever they're doing it in the name of, they're doing it because they can.
Because they can. Yeah, exactly. Once they can't, then they can't.
Then they can't. Right. That's a time that people won't be doing it because they won't be able to.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Ted Cruz had a hilarious / horrifying collection of responses to these two shootings.
Yeah, he did.
Which
Planned Parenthood specifically was a really genius and inspired Ted Cruz response because it was so ridiculous that
it was too ridiculous. And this is, by the way, he was, you know, at the time that these shootings happened in San Bernardino, we did not know their cause. We knew that the people that were suspects had names that sounded vaguely Islamic.
Right.
But we didn't have any other proof of anything.
Right.
So they could have just been regular, everyday people who have names like Farouk.
But he immediately jumped to terrorism.
He immediately said that it could be considered radical Islamic terrorism just because they happened to have Middle Eastern sounding names.
But
and that was before any evidence.
Right.
Which is interesting because as much as he didn't want to pigeonhole them,
right.
he did, or as much as he did want to pigeonhole them, he didn't want to pigeonhole Robert Louis Deer, the man who committed the Planned Parenthood shooting, because, you know, we didn't have the evidence. So instead, he condemned the media for trying to blame the pro-life movement, which he said at this point there's very little evidence to indicate that they were responsible, which there was only evidence to indicate.
Right. The only evidence that you need is a shooting at Planned Parenthood.
Right. That's all. That was the evidence.
Right. The shooting would have been elsewhere.
Pointed to an internet rumor claiming that Deer was a, quote, transgendered leftist activist.
Oh, yes.
How that could be. Like, okay, here's how they got transgendered.
Yeah.
For some reason, Deer was registered as a woman to vote.
Yeah.
He had, like, on paper been registering as a woman, which is a weird thing to do, but not related to...
He was not a leftist activist, and he was certainly not transgendered.
Right. I mean, like, even if you misunderstand what transgendered is, how we got leftist into the equation is a mystery to all.
Yeah, and I think they definitely do misunderstand what transgender is, because we're going to talk about that a little bit in terms of Ben Carson. I have a feeling Ted Cruz probably has the same problem.
They unequivocally don't understand what transgendered is.
They don't.
But they also don't seem to understand what leftist is.
That's
problematic, because that is their political rivalry. It's sort of curious what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But in any case, it was interesting how easy it was to pigeonhole...
The dichotomy of those two
responses. Happening the same within a week of each other was too much.
Yeah.
Much too much. And he also spoke to the American Jewish Coalition, saying that we needed a war president.
Yes.
So he was really, like, using this to fundraise.
Yeah, he was. And it was so interesting, too, that he was talking about needing a, quote, war president.
As a man who has no foreign policy experience.
Right, had no foreign policy experience. And as a man who talked in depth about what his foreign policy ideas would be if he were president last week. And they sounded a lot like Rand Paul's.
Yeah,
like,
it's sort of...
being an isolationist. I mean, not quite to that degree, but sort of, like, was railing on about neocons and Hillary Clinton being interventionists and, like, getting caught in, like, you know, crazy, like, you know, wars and stuff. And it was like...
It was curious.
What? It was a curious thing to say that you needed a war president.
I do not believe that he or I understand what his foreign policy plans are as a war president.
I don't think so either.
The Liberty University president... Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell, right.
You know.
Well, junior, I think, right?
Junior, but, yeah. Yes. The junior. Still, yeah, the new Jerry Falwell.
But still Jerry Falwell.
Silver Jerry Falwell. Thought that maybe if we had more guns, we could just end Muslims.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an interesting stance for him to take, considering that he relies very heavily on religious liberty being a thing that we grant in this country.
Well, religious liberty, and also, I mean, like, you know, if he, as a religious leader, is, you know, inciting Christians to kill Muslims... I mean, he is no better than the leaders of ISIS.
No, he's doing the exact same thing.
He's doing literally the exact same thing.
And he already...
Which I'm sure is totally
missing,
lost on him.
Right, of course.
And even if you told him, he would somehow not be able to understand it.
No.
But, you know, that's...
But he's literally running a university that is only filled with Christian extremists.
That's it.
His whole life is talking to Christian extremists
about
extreme things they can do.
Right, like killing Muslims.
Like killing Muslims.
With guns.
Which is a solution that would potentially make us think that maybe Christian extremists should also be all... Like, this is a cycle we could never end.
Yeah, I would like to check... I would like to check people who have gone to Liberty University. Have them on a list that we have to check before they can get a gun.
Talk about terrorism.
right?
They're promoting a lot. They're inciting a lot of terrible ideas in this country. Yeah. Let's put them on the no-fly list.
You're on the Liberty University list.
Right.
You don't qualify for a gun.
No.
Sorry.
It seems like you could definitely be the next mass shooter because right. you've done nothing but your crazy ideology. Also, if we could get them on a no-fly list, then we would never have to sit next to an evangelical Christian talking about nonsense on a flight.
I know.
And that would be, I think, nice.
That would be super nice.
That would at least be convenient for everyone else.
Yeah, it would. Now, thankfully, someone finally has a plan to deal with ISIS.
Thank God Sarah Palin came to the 700 Club just in time
right.
to tell us what to do.
Yeah, and if you want to know what it is, well, it's
we'll
a little...
We'll read it to you because we can't tell.
It's a little vague, but it involves being...
It involves quitting being a namby-pamby and kind of milquetoast.
That's it. Yeah.
It involves quitting that and then not saying, let's discuss things with them, let's reach out and try to understand them.
Right. She said, exactly. She said, you have to quit being namby-pamby. But she went on and she said, it's a scary kind of naive that anyone would believe that radical Islam movement, jihad, that it could be understood, leading to some kind of embracing of it. No, we have to be honest about it. It has to be stopped. Now, no one is saying that they're going to embrace it, but I think it's more naive to... claim that you're going to be able to end it without understanding it.
That's the most naive.
Right?
That's
the
definition of naive.
If you want to talk about who's being naive here, it's Sarah Palin.
Especially because
she doesn't have a plan. This is not a plan.
This is not a plan.
Not
Stop being
namby
so namby-pamby
is not
a plan.
A plan to deal with ISIS.
But also, this is... What she described is the closest to the plan that we've already tried that anyone could...
I know.
Trying to solve it without understanding it is exactly what landed us in this situation in the first place.
Exactly. And that's still... currently what we're ultimately trying to do, really.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's it. There's been like bizarre, there's like weird little things happening all over and sort of related to the San Bernardino thing where people are just sort of taking it upon themselves to do stuff in the name of radical Islam. There was a weird, there was a knife attack in the London metro station where someone screamed, "This is for Syria," and then tried to stab a bunch of people.
But this was sort of like right on the heels of British lawmakers like approving bombing of ISIS because they had been sort of not really necessarily holding out, but since the Paris attacks, both France and the UK have really sort of like stepped up their game in their bombing of ISIS strongholds and things like that. So this was sort of right on the heels of that.
And this is part of the cycle of what happens when you start bombing places.
Right.
In any case, and speaking of shootings in a different regard.
Yeah.
As you know, another kind of shooting problem we have in America is police shooting unarmed black people.
Right, exactly.
And
there was one that happened. Oh, sorry, I just knocked the mic, knocked the table. God dang it. There was one in October of 2014 that happened in Chicago.
Right.
And there had been a lot of the Laquan McDonald.
Shooting.
And this week, a judge ordered that they release the police video of the incident, and hit the fan.
Well, it became clear from that, but you know, the original report on the incident, the police officer is describing how aggressive he was being and how they were fearing for their lives.
Right.
The video makes clear that he's
trying
to...
He wouldn't drop a knife. And
right.
Was like, yeah.
The video makes clear that he's walking away from them, trying to slowly and calmly walk or sort of jog away from them.
Right.
And then as they shoot him 16
one
times.
One zillion times. Yeah. Including sometimes when he was already like laying on the ground after they shot him and ran up to him.
Your job when someone is holding a gun... I mean, when someone's holding a knife, it's not really to kill them because they can't kill you with the knife once they're shot.
Right.
Like,
no,
it's just to disarm them.
Yes.
If you're shooting someone because they're coming at you with a knife, you don't need to kill them.
Yeah.
Side note, just a general police strategy note from me. But in any case, they shot him 16 times. When the video got released, suddenly everyone was like, wait a minute. So now the Justice Department is going to do a study of them in a similar way to when they did in Ferguson and in Baltimore, where they're going to look into what's been going on at the Chicago PD because
and we're
gonna
keep
shit's been
on
going
this
wrong
because,
there for a
because
while.
Because I think we've actually already, I think the head of the Chicago Police Department has either resigned or is like being forced to. There have been people who have been calling for Rahm Emanuel to resign because supposedly
there's been a lot of that talk
about this. So this is a huge story. It's still sort of developing, so we're going to keep
probably next week we'll have more info, but at some point in the next few weeks we'll come with a larger breakdown of what's been going on because things are happening as we speak.
They're afoot. Yes.
And now let's talk about elections.
Oh, finally.
Got through all that nonsense.
All the shooting news
is finally over. Thank
God. took us half the podcast, but...
More, probably.
Well, probably more, but yeah.
In any case, here's some exciting news.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders is now polling at 36%, to Clinton's 51%.
Yeah.
He's gone up, but I think like 7 points or something.
He went
like
up
that.
By 6 or 7 points, and she went down by 6 or 7 points. It ultimately ended up as like a 13-point swing in this same Reuters poll from mm-hmm. the last time they polled it.
Yes. And O'Malley's polling at 4, but also 10% are undecided.
Yeah.
Which, as we've said many times, undecided voters aren't undecided because they want to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right, they're trying to figure out how not to vote for Hillary or O'Malley, or not at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what undecided voters are.
Yeah.
This is notable because at this time in 2007, Clinton had a much wider lead over Obama than she currently does over Sanders.
Yeah.
And that was going into the Iowa caucuses.
Yeah.
You know, it was not until the Iowa caucuses that he finally caught up, but this is...
Yeah.
This is much earlier in the game.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I think what's interesting about this poll, too, is that the only group of people that they sort of, like, separated and polled that Sanders leads with is people who identify themselves as independents. So, like, people who identified as Democrats were strongly for Hillary. I think moderates were strongly for Hillary.
They would
but
be.
They would be, because that's what she is. Yeah, you would want the Democrat number to be closer.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, but the I mean, like, people who identify as Democrats are sort of... party line voters.
That's true. You're right.
And she's the party pick.
She's the party line. Right, yeah.
You know, the party line is the obedient Democratic voters who don't like to think outside the box.
Yeah. But I think that he should be using that to his advantage, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, ultimately, the most of the Democrats are going to vote for whoever the nominee is.
Right.
I mean, not all of them. I mean, we may vote
for
Jill Stein.
We're
because
probably
we live
not
in California and we can get away with it.
Well, you don't have to in a safe state, guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know, most people are going to... If it's Sanders, they're going to vote for him.
Right.
The fact that he's winning with independents is a good sign for him. There were also a lot of polls last week, too, that I think showed him doing well or even better than Clinton,
against
in some case,
a lot
against
of
hypothetical, the... you know, Republican matchups,
yeah.
which I don't really put much stock in
until those actually happen.
But still, I mean, you have to, you know, everybody is always saying, well, Bernie Sanders isn't electable. Like, that's the excuse that they use, that they don't, that they're not going to vote. Well, I like him, but he couldn't win a general.
He has routinely been polling better than her against hypothetical matchups for this entire election so far.
Yeah, it's because people don't like her.
Right. That you're right.
I mean,
that's what we,
I could
that's what
find
we,
a nicer way to put it, but there
but that's
isn't
it.
One.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's... meanwhile, the GOP is embroiled in their own primary-based concerns.
Well, the more insane things that Donald Trump says, the higher he goes up
I mean,
the polls.
Whatever,
like,
he
he's
says...
He's, like, in the 30s now. He's, like, a third of... He's almost doubled anybody who's, like, in second place
right
now.
Yeah, and the person who's in second place right now is
Ted Cruz
which is very concerning.
Insane.
Because also, he's not highly electable either.
No.
And also, they don't like him as much as they don't like Trump. I mean, at that point, everyone's a terrible choice.
Yeah, I mean, he is a Republican senator, but he's not.
He's
loved
hated
by
all
party.
Republican senators
right, exactly.
and the rest of the party.
Yeah.
Because he likes to lone wolf himself around the Senate and just make them look bad.
Yeah, and shut down. He single-handedly shut down the government. So, and they weren't even happy about that.
No, exactly. So, in any case, the National Republican Senatorial Committee released a memo telling Senate campaigners what they should do in the event that Donald Trump becomes the nominee. Because
the
they need to distance themselves from him in order to keep the Senate.
And the Washington Post got a hold of this.
Right.
Obviously, this was not to be seen by the public.
Right.
Certainly not. It certainly wasn't meant to be seen by Donald Trump.
Here's the thing. If I could have written this memo myself, it wouldn't have said much that was different from what they said, other than maybe having better ideas than was currently in it.
Would have had a lot better ideas.
Because... Yeah. The ideas are comically sort of, like, simplistic and also ridiculous.
Yeah.
They say, you know, they encourage candidates to not go near Trump's comments on women, other than saying that their wife or daughter is offended by them.
Right.
So that it's not them that's offended. It's just
right,
my daughter
exactly.
was offended by Trump.
Women,
I, of course...
Women I know.
Right. Women I know are offended.
I agree wholeheartedly. But...
It says to refer to Trump. Again, this would be in the event that he was their party's nominee as a misguided missile.
No, it refers to him
as it refers to him as a misguided
which
missile.
Which I think is actually
misread
worse
that.
Because...
That is worse.
Yeah, because this whole thing is, you know...
Says he's subject to farcical fits.
Farcical fits. Because we talked on the podcast... The last podcast that we did about how he is sort of going back on maybe whether he'll run as a third party or not. And the reason that he's giving is because when he signed that pledge, it was all, you know, under the guise that the Republican Party itself was going to treat him fairly.
Right.
And he doesn't feel like he's being treated fairly. And this is going to give him way more fodder to be like, look, these guys are trying to fuck me over.
Yeah.
Because
putting that on paper is a terrible plan.
Terrible plan.
So there's suggestions for how to deal with it. are mostly about wearing better clothes and getting your cousins to get on camera and talk about how great you are.
There were also, it was sort of like a general memo, not just about Trump, but also sort of like how to, basically how to get elected as a Senate candidate.
Hold sessions where you listen to people and capture audio and video of them discussing their real world problems.
Yes.
Lose the suit. Tell your communications and media teams to up the vibe and change the look.
Change it up.
Voters are on to you when you do the standard walk and talk through a business school or factory.
Well, obviously.
I know.
Try a new look.
And have business owners, constituents, family members, and workers talk about you.
Yes.
That's not a new look, P.S. Everyone's been doing that since the beginning of time. Hillary Clinton's campaign announcement is just that.
I know. She's not even in the campaign
She's not even in the campaign announcement. It's just other people talking about her. And it didn't inspire my excitement about her campaign one bit.
And it also says, featuring real people protects you from opposition attacks, since real-world people are talking about real-world things that you did for them.
I challenge you to find real-world things that you're doing for people.
I know. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, but it also says, this is good.
Consider doing some of the jobs that the workers do in the machine shops, small businesses, and factories you visit. Have the employees show you what they do and then try to do it. I want to say one thing about that, which is currently Donald Trump is the only one of them with a real job. This plan would just highlight...
Is his
job real? I mean, no, but yes. Like, this plan just highlights the degree to which they don't exist in the real
world.
They're
going
to be
inept
at the machinist job.
Right, exactly.
Donald Trump is not a politician. That's why he says such nonsense all the time.
Yeah.
He has a job that is, in some sense, real.
Yeah.
He has some jobs that are real. Some of his many jobs are real in that he's a great television producer. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, he's a person who, like, exists in the working world.
Yes.
In a way
that's true.
That none of these candidates do. So to highlight the fact that you don't really, that it's so, like, foreign to you to do a real job.
To do a job.
Well, the guy that you're, that you're trying to defeat
And run away from
is the only one of you with a real job. Seems curious to me.
I agree.
But anyway, let's continue.
They also said, feature candidates working on an old engine. And note how sometimes you have to do a complete overhaul to get things working.
Remember how last week I talked about how insulted I was by misguided Republican metaphors that weren't correct when it came to Syrian refugees? I'm continuing to be insulted by how much Republicans want us to believe dumb metaphors that are transparent in every way.
I know.
Have a constituent or citizen talk about the candidate cleaning up the mess in Washington as the candidate participates in a street cleaning. Consider featuring a candidate in a field ripping up a rotten tree stump so the field can be cleared and planting can be
done. That's not how to get elected to the Senate.
Do not do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. And their final piece of advice?
Sell optimism.
Chris Christie did not get that memo.
No.
There's not a single Republican candidate out there that is currently selling optimism.
No.
They are all selling doomsday scenarios, with maybe the exception of Mike Huckabee, who's only selling a doomsday scenario when it comes to the apocalypse, but not really to Medicare and the economy.
Right.
God.
Oh, boy.
Or Social Security and the economy.
Yeah.
Medicare. That's wrong. right. In any case, Ben Carson is still a man who's talking in public.
Yeah.
That's curious enough.
Interestingly, his numbers have been going down.
Yes.
He's not...
He has revealed himself
for some reason
to be ill-equipped for this foreign policy conversation.
Yeah, exactly. He is not having the same... It probably really just gets his goat that he can say dumb things and his poll numbers go down, but the dumber things that Donald Trump says...
Right, make his poll numbers
go through the roof.
I know.
Because Ben Carson, you know, for the last month, we've only been talking about ridiculous things that he has either said or thinks or has put on paper in books or lied about or whatever.
But here's the...
And it's causing his numbers to go down, but Trump can...
Ben Carson's crazy things don't have a constituency. Like, Donald Trump has a racist constituency, and he's not saying...
Right.
He's saying crazy things because they're insensitive and wrong,
right?
But they're not crazy in the sense that no one else in America is thinking them.
Right.
When you talk about the pyramids being used as grain storage,
right, that's
just crazy. You don't have
a
constituency for that kind of craziness.
Yeah, nobody's rushing to
that's just an arbitrary thought that you had.
That's not a platform.
That's not a platform.
Racism is a platform.
Yeah,
right.
It's unfortunately a really successful platform.
Yeah.
Ben Carson is just not identifying platforms in his issues.
Yeah.
He tried.
He did.
At an event in Waterloo.
Waterloo. Waterloo's a terrible place, by the
way. Waterloo's where Michelle Bachmann was born, isn't it?
That's correct. I went to the University of Northern Iowa for 2 years before I transferred, and that is in Cedar Falls, which is the Waterloo metro area. Waterloo-Cedar Falls is like
Waterloo has a metro area?
It's one of the bigger cities.
Really?
It's still probably only like 100,000 or something
when
like
say
that.
Big.
So, I mean, like, but it's one of the...
It's one of the bigger Iowa metropolitan areas.
Right, exactly, yeah. So it does get to have a metropolitan area.
How exciting.
I think Cedar Falls is probably 20 miles away, but I mean, regardless. But... You went there to shop sometimes, because Cedar Falls, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do in Waterloo either, but, like, literally, if you wanted to go to a mall, then you had to leave
Cedar
Waterloo.
Falls. Go to Waterloo, right.
Yeah, it's gross there.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Regardless.
It's the city Michelle Bachmann was from.
Exactly.
That's nothing.
Yeah. Doesn't have a great pedigree, those no. people. Anyway, but he got to talking about the, quote, transgender thing, yes. which he definitely doesn't know anything about. And here's why. He was talking about it in terms of the military. And he said, I do not appreciate using our military as a laboratory for a social experiment, which is, like, one of the things that the Republicans right. love to say all the time and when it comes to, like,
anything you know, that's not white men in the military.
Right, exactly. He says, you know, we have too many important things to do. Give me a break. Deal with the transgender thing somewhere else.
What dealing does he think that we need to do beyond just letting transgender people being themselves and then not dealing with it after that?
Right, exactly.
There's no further dealing we have to
I don't think so either. Yeah, he said, I mean, why do you have to go around flaunting your sexuality? Well, it's not necessary, and you don't need to talk about that. We need to talk about how to eliminate the enemy. Yes,
the transgender people are not going around flaunting their sexuality.
They're not, because that's not sexuality.
That's not their sexuality. Being right. transgender is not a sexuality.
As a doctor, I realize he's not doing sex change operations, but like you would still think
he's
that
still
would
a medical professional.
You would think that he would understand the difference between the two.
You
because
would think.
There is a difference. I feel like the general public understands the difference between the two at this point
Agreed.
Now. I mean, I feel like we've come far enough that there's still a lot of, you know, there's still a lot going on. There's still a lot of ignorance, but I think most people know that being transgender doesn't have anything to do with what your sexuality is or who you're attracted to.
No. And also, being transgender is not necessarily the same as flaunting anything.
No, it's not.
That is just being a person.
No. These aren't people
who are
like...
All of us are flaunting our gender currently by having it.
Right. They're not... The transgender people who are in the military, I presume, are not coming, you know, in a Cher costume and doing, like, right. a lip sync for your life number. Like,
no.
That's not what's happening.
No.
So, they're not flaunting anything.
No. They're just people who are in the military who have a gender, like all of us.
Right.
And are in the military.
Right.
So, that's what the transgender thing is, Ben Carson.
That's right. Yeah.
In any case, he's not... He's so uninformed that he also doesn't seem to understand... how to pronounce the word Hamas correctly.
He definitely doesn't, because he did it wrong.
He was speaking
twice.
To the Republican Jewish Coalition, which everyone has been visiting recently.
Yes.
And was talking about Hamas, which is the political movement in Gaza, as you know, that is a sort of semi-terrorist organization, semi-political party.
Yep.
In any case, he mispronounced it in several different ways, several different times, but the most notable was that he, at some point, called it hummus. As in the delicious chickpea snack that all of us enjoy, beloved by all.
Yes, exactly.
So he's currently at war with hummus.
Yeah, he is. And amis.
And amis. Another
or amis. I don't know.
Which
I
is
just
the French word for friends. So that's another curious one.
Yeah.
He's at war with a delicious snack food
and
friends. Friendship.
Oh boy.
That's not who we need to be our commander in chief.
It definitely
friends.
Isn't.
That's
no.
not it.
Oh, but, here's some exciting news.
Yeah.
Women can now get killed in all the same way that men
can
when it comes to warfare.
Finally, 2015 got here, you know? Finally,
yes.
It snuck right up on us, and now women can be in any combat role that men
can
be in.
So if you're looking
it only
to,
took us...
to die in a while you were driving a tank,
then
you can.
I want to point out that it took 95 years after women were given the right to vote to be given the right to die in a terrible circumstance.
Yeah.
We could trust women with the vote, but it took 95 years after that to trust them in the military.
Yeah. Yikes. Anyway.
We're not as advanced as we want to be, friends.
No, we're really not.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump, also speaking to the Republican Jewish Coalition, because everyone was doing it, delivered a speech that was filled with the most offensive Jewish stereotypes that you could possibly find.
What the hell
is he up to?
I have no idea.
He's from New York City!
I know.
He's from a city that has 2 million Jewish people. New York City is the second largest Jewish population in the world of any
outside
city.
Outside of Israel.
Outside of Tel Aviv, I think.
Yes.
There are more Jews in New York City than any other city in the world, and that includes every other city in Israel.
So, do better.
How did he get through life
not knowing
not to say these things?
I don't know. He said, you're not going to support me because I don't want your money. Implying that Jews were only going to, you know, support people that they could buy.
They could buy. Nothing like an anti-Semitic, you know,
common
anti-Semitic trope to really get you through the
And he
speech.
Kept calling them negotiators all the time.
Yes.
He kept referring, we're all negotiators.
Right.
I've never spoken to a room of more negotiators before. I'm a negotiator like you folks. He, like, went to the negotiator trope.
Is there anyone in this room who doesn't negotiate deals? You know, because it's filled with Jews. You know? In any case, he did have one misstep. Hilariously, this was the biggest misstep, because I would think that I would have been more offended by all of the negotiator talk and, you know, talk about money.
Yeah.
But he said, I don't know if Israel has the commitment to make it. You could, someone else in the room.
Right. Well, he was asked about whether...
Talking about whether Jerusalem should remain undivided, question you'd only be asked at the Republican-Jewish coalition.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, I don't know if Israel has the commitment to make it.
Right. And that's not what you tell
You don't say that to a room full of Jewish donors.
Nope,
friends.
You sure don't. Yeah.
But that's the point that everyone got upset.
The Time reporter who reported on that said you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah. Not surprised.
Wah, wah.
In any case, also, don't be at the Republican-Jewish coalition.
I mean...
Like, don't be there.
No.
Don't let Donald Trump have the platform to deliver this speech to you. You're making the wrong choice already.
Yes,
you opened yourself up to this to a speech filled with anti-Semitic tropes by being in the room.
That's right. And inviting him.
There are some times that you can blame the victim, and one of those times is if you're an asshole. If the victim is an asshole, you can blame him.
Yeah.
Although, who knows if he's going to rooms full of... multi-party Jewish voters and saying the same thing. I doubt. I mean, also, this is a fundraising move. I mean, it's like...
I would assume so.
So, like, what is he even doing in the room telling them he doesn't... Like, why was he there if he didn't need their money?
Yeah, he needs their votes.
He needs their votes, I guess. He doesn't need their votes.
Yeah, he's probably not going to get them.
How many votes does the Republican-Jewish coalition deliver you? Only 2% of the population is Jewish in the first place, and a vast majority of them are Democrats.
What you're supposed to say at the...
I love Israel. Israel is great. Right. We will do anything to protect Israel. Right. Thank you and good night.
And yes, exactly. And probably bonus points for a Bonoran reference. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's all that you're there to say.
Yeah.
You're not there to...
Yeah, you could just go, show up, and do the John McCain bomb, 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 Iran.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just, like, you know, sort of, like, soft shoe off stage, and, like, you would have really sort of done it.
Then you've done it, yeah. It's a clear success route right there that we knew.
It's so easy.
It's so easy.
Oh, God.
Sometimes people are making really confounding choices in politics that I just don't understand.
I know.
Like, if even we would know what to do in that situation.
I know. We're not running for president.
No, and we're not Republicans.
Yeah, I know. We don't fit any of
we don't
the,
fit any of
the things that should qualify us to know what to say to these people.
And here we are, knowing more than Donald Trump, a person who grew up in New York City, which, again, has the second largest Jewish population of any city in the world.
Yeah.
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
In any case, the Senate Republicans finally got in on the Obamacare revealing game.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how happy
the
they are?
The victory they must be feeling.
Finally. Gosh.
Party lines, 52-47. Yep. I have some questions for several Republicans who I don't think should have voted on this party line.
I agree. Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah.
And now it's going to go back to the House where it will pass, and then the president will veto it, and we'll be back where we started.
Right. It was obviously symbolic because as long as Obama's the president, it's not going anywhere.
No,
which
but they
is what,
finally got in on the game.
And that's ultimately their plan. That's why they're happy about this, because what they can
it's
a campaign thing, because they have an angry base who doesn't think that they have done enough, and now that they can say that they have done everything that they can, and Obama has vetoed it, and they can also say, on top of that, look, we must have a Republican president, because the only way we can do this is if we have a Republican president, so we can veto this.
I can imagine the room they were in where they convinced the final holdouts that they needed to do this.
Yeah.
And they were just like, listen, guys, this is electoral strategy. Don't worry. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. We just need it to talk about during the election.
Yeah.
So buck up.
Yeah.
Make sure your grandchildren stay safe.
Yeah.
You know, by not, I won't murder any grandchildren in their sleep if you vote for this bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's just get this done so that we can campaign on it and have nothing accomplished.
Yeah. And Democrats are excited about this because they now get to target these Republicans who voted on this by saying, look.
Now it's on the record.
Look, these people want to take your health care away that you either bought on the exchange or, you know, obtained through Medicaid expansion.
So everyone's happy.
Everybody's happy. Republicans get to repeal Obamacare. Obama gets to veto it.
Curious.
Democrats get to target Republicans. It's really...
the cycle of political life.
Yeah.
It's the cycle of Beltway life.
Yeah.
It's curious to me, though, because the Republicans stand to lose more seats than they did the last time that we had Senate elections.
Exactly.
And it's a presidential year.
I think so.
This is a bad strategy for them.
Some of the Republicans who are running in purple-ish
states
this year might have thought better of this. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I know Obamacare still doesn't necessarily pull super great, but like in places where there has been a Medicaid expansion and a lot of people are on the exchanges, states that started their own exchanges that are working well, if you're a Republican from one of those states, it is not a good idea to basically be voting on ripping people's health care away from them, because that's what you did.
Exactly. I mean, what about like Ohio? What's his nuts from Ohio? Not
Sheriff
Brown, but what's his face?
Yeah.
Isn't he up? Maybe he's not up. In any case,
I'm not sure.
There's states
There are people who are in states like that who are going to be running for re-election. Yeah.
And this, I don't, this is the, this is so, this, this makes them easy targets for a thing that they should have known not to step into. I guess they're hoping that it's early enough that it'll kind of, by the time this becomes, the general, it'll kind of be forgotten, but they can still campaign on it if they want to.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't let anyone forget it.
No, I wouldn't either.
Meanwhile, just as a side note about the Senate, can we just pass the Zadroga bill? There are 68 co-sponsors on the bill. It is literally Mitch McConnell who just won't bring it for a vote.
Yeah.
I was in Washington earlier this week at a press conference and then walking in around, you know, in Congress trying to just be like, guys,
come on,
let's just move. I mean, it has enough co-sponsors to pass both chambers. The president will pass it. Let's just vote on it. Let's just do it. Can we just do it?
Yeah.
I have plans to move on to a new issue after this.
Yes. I know you would love to.
Continue doing outreach work for the World Trade Center Health Program.
Right.
Because that is important to
people
me.
People need to know that
people
they can
need to
use
know
it.
That there are those services available to them. And I am the person who is, think, you know, for young adults and the more social media based, I'm the person that
you.
They come to. That's fine. I would like to move on to advocating for single payer at on a state level. That is my plan currently. Yeah. And I cannot do
it. Once we have single payer, you won't have to be advocating for the 9/11 health bill anymore.
It's like it's a really long process to get through to get back to the same point.
Right.
But but I would like to move on to that. I have plans to advocate for that as soon as this is passed.
And you have good ideas. I've heard
them. Good ideas. I just need this to pass so that I can move on.
Yeah.
And listen, Mitch McConnell, I won't be knocking on your door. I don't think that you're the right person to talk to about this.
Yeah.
I'm literally going to stop bothering Washington about this and just head to Albany and Sacramento.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need you anymore. Let's just do it. I don't have time for this anymore.
I agree.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Too much.
And final news.
Oh, God.
Did you see that link that we posted about Ted Cruz's raw footage? Because you should have.
Yeah. This is a thing that is happening with campaigns, because campaigns are not allowed to be...
They're not allowed to collude with their super PACs.
But what they do is when they shoot commercials or whatever, they shoot 1,000 hours of raw footage, and then they just sort of like...
Dump that quietly,
either on the internet or like a downloadable link on YouTube or whatever, and then like anybody can have it and then do what they want with it. And that's obviously like being done so that the super PAC can have footage.
Right, that is colluding,
that's
by the
colluding,
way.
But yeah, exactly. But that's what everyone is doing right now, because everybody seems to think they can get away with it, and they are getting away with it. So that's, I mean, I'm sure Hillary's probably done it too.
But Ted Cruz.
I bet, right. Because we got to see some of the outtakes.
We found his footage the other day.
Yeah.
And it was just like...
It wasn't even really outtakes.
It wasn't really outtakes. It was just all
outtakes.
The takes.
Outtakes implied it would have been funny. Or bloopers.
Or
it wasn't really bloopers.
There wasn't even bloopers. It was just...
I mean,
it was funny because
somebody was coughing through the entire thing.
Somebody whoever was shooting it...
set had a cough. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But also, it was funny how... It was funny to see how awkward his interactions were with everybody on camera. And also... It was so curious who, like, there was some random guy who he was sitting with that they never identify, that you couldn't figure out who he was.
Yeah.
There was, like, these Ted Cruz, like, cousins or something who were just talking about how they weren't old enough to vote, but they would vote
and
for
it's always,
Ted
this
or whatever.
Is always the case. Like, you know, sometimes watching BTS stuff is fun because you kind of, like, it's cool to see, like, what the process is. Maybe, like, if it's, like, some big sort of, like, special effects thing or something like that. But, like, sometimes, you know...
Watching a candidate awkwardly hug their mom for just a beat too long is not fun.
It's not fun. Or, like, sitting awkwardly...
At a table to say grace.
Or on a bed, like a pink bed with your two young daughters, like, staring at the camera, like, asking questions about what you're supposed to say. It's sort of like one of the... It's like that saying, you know, like, sometimes you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Yes.
So, like, this was one of those moments.
This was one of those moments.
Right? It was all very awkward and felt, like really super off-putting.
There's some sort of competition... to use the footage to like edit your own
like
video
using
the footage.
I knew how to edit it.
I know. Be perfect.
I know.
So I expect to see some funny parodies
fantastic.
Of his campaign commercials coming out soon. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
But get yourself to an edited version of that footage as quickly as you can because it's funny.
Yeah.
It's not hilarious funny,
no.
It's just awkward funny.
But
it could be.
There's funny potential.
There's a lot of funny potential in there.
Yeah.
And it also sort of gives you a sense of what's actually going on with super PACs and gambit.
This is
what's actually happening. Yep. They are, of course, colluding. Yeah. There is no way to run a shadow campaign and not collude.
Right.
And if they aren't colluding, they're generally screwing over the candidates because
right.
not colluding with the campaign can be just as dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Colluding with it.
Yeah.
In any case, that's something to watch on, to look at on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
While you're there, check out some of our other postings,
that's
especially
right.
our end Guns in America post that we posted years ago, but it's on our blog. So
oh, yeah.
look at that again, because yep. we repost it all the time because
yeah.
everyone's being stupid all the
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And look out this week for our takedown of
Julia
Brownlee.
We're coming for you.
We're coming for you.
Yeah.
And we will be back next week, because now we're finally
we're
back. We're here. So we will talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.